everyone, and welcome back to A Good Good Thing. I hope you're having a great week, full of good things, and if you're not, well, you're in luck, because from here on in, Jack, what is this?
It is a good vibes only space.
Very smooth. Jack, it's been a while.
Yeah, I've been practicing my deep, smooth voice in the meantime. How's it working out?
It's very impressive. I'm glad you've been making use of your time.
Thank you. I put in the hours. Actually, it was really awkward because after the first lockdown, I saw someone in the real world. And after I'd seen them for like an hour and a half, I got a sore throat that lasted for like 6 weeks, 7 weeks. Like, I thought I had COVID. Obviously, I didn't. But I called up my doctor and he was like, lots of people are getting this kind of Zoom voice where the only times they're talking are on conference calls where you don't really need to be that loud and the background noise isn't very loud, but then people going out to like restaurants or bars where it was loud and so they were straining their voice to be heard after it hadn't been used for months. And he was like, loads of people are getting sore throats, and so that is my excuse for why I haven't recorded a podcast in, you know, 5 months.
It has been a while, and actually that's kind of why we're doing today's episode, because we are going to be talking about where we are, COVID, 8 months in, day 244. And we have a special guest, a dear friend who I know as Fish. Name is John Tench. John is also known as the Shoreditch Coach. He is an all-round guru and life coach, and someone that I know has been a great source of during the pandemic. We've had some great questions about how we're both coping and how other people are. And I wanted to get him in to kind of discuss this crazy new normal that we have now been living for. And as much as we've had great news of vaccines passing final trials and be soon becoming a reality, there's definitely still adjustments that we're going forward. So yeah, really excited to be sitting down with him.
Yeah, we have a really pleasant chat, and we asked some probing questions to kind of use his skills that he normally charges for to get some free advice for ourselves and listeners.
Aren't you all so lucky? But yeah, so we're going to swap over now to when we dialed him in, and we'll jump straight into that chat.
How are we?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. I'm just having my late afternoon snack of a bottle of Pinot Noir.
Classic. Do you know what? Is it really weird that I thought, oh, if I'm going to have a chat with Fish, I should get a glass of wine? And I actually thought,
did you? Do you like my fake fire? Is it annoying?
I mean, no, it's actually spectacular.
Do you like it?
You proper set up.
I feel wintry.
That's very nice. Fish, Jack Fish. You haven't met, have you?
Hi, Jack. No.
No, our first time.
Jack, I'm really loving this like intense Britney vibe mic. Like, you look like you're working at a call center.
That's the vibe I'm going for. I mean, more interestingly, is every time I try and play with my lighting color, the laptop camera tries to equalize it to white again. So I don't have a choice. It's like a very subtle hint of one of the tones or bright white. There's nothing. I'm trying to give myself a tan via lighting. Maybe this.
I mean, you've just got to try what you can, really. Whereas I'm going in a bright white hard light today.
Yeah, Neil, you look like you're sat in the fridge, Johnny.
I've honest to God, it's quite the setup. I'm sat on top of three pillows. I've then got like my mic on a stool, and then my laptop is on a chair because I couldn't sit on the chair, and then I didn't have anything else that was the right height.
Okay.
I've got all the challenges today. There's kids screaming out in the park outside the flat. Housemates in a workshop in his room. I'm just rolling with it, and hopefully this doesn't come across on anything.
It's all fine. I've banished mine to the other room.
Well, that's it. But that's it, isn't it? It's kind of like the fun of doing it at home. I've got to be like, everyone needs to be silent between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. Thanks.
Yeah.
It's surprisingly political. Like, I had to banish Mark from the rooms that he could roam through in the house. I was like, okay, what fun are you planning on having in the next hour? Because I need to find at least one space in the house that you will not enter. So despite having like an office and a living room, I am in the bedroom recording this. Because I should be able to get an hour of roam free space here.
I'm going to have to think about what I'm going to do when I move and like have a proper setup so I don't have to like kill my back or my legs sat on the floor. I'm just too old.
I think you can probably stretch to a chair if you're moving.
Well, I was just like, yeah, I'm just too old for this. Sat down still on the floor for an hour. Like, the chances of me getting up are like in the low percentile without damaging a ligament or something. But yeah, thank you very much for joining us. I was like, everyone won't know that we call you Fish. So I should say, like, thank you for joining us, John Dench.
Yeah, that's all right. I put my name in as John and it felt really strange. So,
but yeah, we're here to talk about, what has basically been the theme of the podcast since about March, which is our dear friend COVID and the pandemic. I looked it up earlier and we are on day like 244 since the first lockdown, 8 long months later. And we are now, what, halfway through lockdown 2?
Yeah, just about, aren't we? We've got about 2 weeks left.
Yeah, December 2nd, it finishes. Hopefully life goes back to normal on December
we'll
the 3rd. Yeah, we will. But I suppose first question is, how have you been getting on through the pandemic?
Yeah, that's a good question, really. Mixed, a bit like everybody else, I suppose. And that's not the answer you expect from somebody who sells their services as a coach, but it's true. It's mixed, isn't it? Some days it's been quite helpful, actually, and it's been easy to get quite focused because there's no FOMO. Nobody's doing anything. I don't sit in the house thinking, oh God, I wish I was somewhere else. But then, other times, just the same as everybody else. Like every the whole reason that I live in London is because there's things to go and do, and it's all closed, isn't it? So it's so hard.
Yeah, that's definitely one conversation that's cropped up a lot for friends that do live in London as well. That it's amazing how much a big city can suddenly become the most isolated place because you realise that so much of your activities and social time is revolved around going somewhere because people don't live that close to each other, so there's normally an element of travel involved no matter what you're doing, whether that's like on the way home from work or whatever. But we're now all at home in our local areas, and actually, yeah, all of a sudden, because most of us don't have cars, you kind of can't get anywhere.
I don't know, guys, have you tried going to the park? That seems to be the revolutionary new experience for 2020.
Yeah, you know, I went to Borough Market yesterday, so I'm lucky enough that I can walk to a few things. I went to Borough Market and I thought this will be cute, and nobody else will have thought of this. Well, the queues were miles long, stewarded by the police. It's like, okay, run away immediately. This is not relaxing. This is actual hell.
The slight difference this time is that so many things are open compared to the last lockdown, like certain essential services. But it is that thing when you're like, what are you doing this weekend? I'm like, well, I've got 17 walks booked with 17 different friends in 17 different locations 2 meters apart. And it's just kind of, I've already joked before about how I actually discovered the most beautiful park near my house, which I didn't realize existed. And I've lived in this area for 5 years. And I'm actually a little bit just upset now that I'm going to be leaving the area soon. And I'm like, oh, didn't really ever get to enjoy it. But yeah, I'm a bit over walking around where I live now, I think.
No, it's kind of mad. Like the canal, because I live quite far from any park. So like Victoria Park is the nearest thing apart from maybe Highbury Fields. And so I spent a lot of time pacing up and down the canal, which is cute. But it's getting old a little bit. There's a new boat that's now selling French baguettes, and that seems to, you know, you're so excited about these really tiny things these days. Oh my god, somebody sells bread out of a boat, you know, this is the best day. so yeah, it's just it is a bit of area discovery, but I am kind of over it.
I definitely think there's definitely a different feeling to this lockdown. One, obviously, as we just said, that certain things are open that they weren't last time, but there's definitely an element of it's going into winter, it's getting cold, the weather has been terrible. So whereas in the first lockdown I was doing at least three walks a day in the sun, I'm now, because it's raining all the time, not leaving my desk when I'm working for like 10 hours. And then actually when I get up to walk, I'm suddenly getting back pain because I'm like, I haven't moved anywhere. I'm definitely finding that kind of day-to-day bit harder to find something to like either do or just to feel comfortable rather than just being forced to sit somewhere.
Yeah, I think I have, I've kind of started booking out times in my diary, because obviously now when you finish work, if you're lucky enough to like be able to work from home, it's pitch black. And so you can't do anything. Whereas in the summer, it was fine. You could finish at six o'clock and go out for a walk. But now it's terrible. So I actually started putting in like 2 until 3:30, just blocking it out as like a meeting with myself, and just going out in the daylight, just to get something before it's pitch black and just shut in, flicking through Netflix again, being like, oh my God. Somehow like real life murder stories feel really upbeat and lovely. compared to what's actually going on, like true crime, you're like, this looks so great, look at all those people mixing.
Because what about you, Jack? Because Jack, you're like, obviously you don't necessarily do a 9-to-5 because of your PhD, like, so I mean, for me, I kind of, as much as I can complain about it, I suppose having a solid block of something to do in the day is a blessing. But like, do you find it harder when it's, oh, especially because your work is self-motivated. It's how much work you're going to put into your PhD.
Yeah, I've got a lot done. None of it positive for my own personal life experience. But I am achieving. And so, but I don't even like achieving. So it's been the worst. It's just been like, no, I would say that you do get the flexibility of going out while it's still light. I have made friends with lots of separate squirrels in various parks, and that's been an achievement for me. I was in Victoria Park the other day, and there was just like a gang of 30 squirrels just kind of like hanging around. It was the strangest thing. I was like, what are you guys up to? And they included me as one of their own, so it was a great day. That's literally all I have this lockdown is squirrels. But in terms of like ending a working day, like normally you're like, okay, great, there are other people who are finishing around now and we're going to do something, whereas now it's like, well, what am I going to do? Either watch Netflix or, I mean, I should say, like, there are other streaming services available. We could be watching Amazon Prime. Or I may as well just keep doing work. And then I'm like, oh, it's 11 o'clock at night and I've managed to do all of these things. What is a useful way to pass the time when there's nothing that you actually can do? And you've done all the stuff you want to do in your house the first lockdown. That was, I got that out of the way in the prequel.
Yeah, I don't have any more things to chuck out now. I've done so many rounds of like, let's grow everything I own and see what I can get rid of and give to charity. And I'm kind of at the point now where I'm just like, just give away the clothes on my back. It's the only thing I've got left that I can clear out.
No, you will always have stuff to get rid of. That,
yeah, it's so
fact.
True. It's so true. I even bought more stuff last week. Can't stop.
Can't be like, I'm so bored, I'm going to give you my own clothes.
Well, it's just, but you know, I had this conversation with Jack. Like, I end up like, you know, I'll be like, what random bit of technology could I buy this week? Just because I know it will give me some sort of like entertainment for like 2 weeks. And I'm like, it's just not worth it. And, you know, it's amazing how much it becomes a coping mechanism. Like, you know, but I think part of me was worried that like my coping mechanism was to go back to like comfort eating, because it's normally my main thing. But actually it's just been like, what can I buy to entertain myself?
Fish, have you noticed how well lit Neil is this call? Because that might give you an insight into what he's been purchasing.
Have you bought a light ring?
No, I bought a torch. it just follows me wherever I go.
Just a spotlight around the house, like you're on stage.
Yeah, well, we got access to this new video platform for recording this, and I was like, and so I tried it in my room, and I was just like, you couldn't see me because the lights in my room are pretty bad. They're very warm and like don't go that bright, and actually I just looked like a pixelated mess. And so I was like, oh well, maybe I'll have a go and see if that does anything. And actually I'm quite impressed with it.
Yeah, it does. So, it looks nice. I'm gonna try it. You can't see any of your wrinkles.
That's what I wanted. And normally HD is worse for it, whereas it's obviously clearly doing me a favour.
It's, we elected not to get the 4K streaming platform just to make sure that the wrinkles were sub-pixel.
Yeah, right. It's just like when movies started coming out in HD in the TV and you can see the patches of makeup on everybody. I'm like, no, I'll keep the lights as low as I possibly can and with something in the background as well. Just so you... Yeah, you just spend all day now as well. I mean, so, you know, I spend a lot of my time sat on Zoom and Teams and things like loads of other people do at the minute. And I have never, ever, ever looked at myself as much as you are forced to do. Yeah. Right now, and it's just, even if you try and turn it off, it's really annoying because you're just there in the corner thinking like, what on earth is going on? Why do I look like this? Do I look as miserable as I feel? Do I look uninterested in what they're saying? So like keep the lights low. It's all good.
There's a damning statistic on that, which is in video calls, they did eye tracking and they found out that people spend 80% of the time looking at their own face.
Really?
Yeah. So like, what's the point in even having your webcam on for other people? Because, you know, they're not looking at you. They're looking at their own face. They're like, oh, that's how I look when I make this expression.
Oh my God.
It doesn't surprise me. I think I can definitely, I reckon I've been guilty of it. I won't deny it.
I got quite worried the other day. I was reading that like some of the big platforms are bringing out sort of filters that you use sort of live as you're on camera. Don't you think that's strange?
Yeah, like people are just so worried about it. Because it's a really interesting one with my team at work, because I'm of the camp of like, I don't care what you look like, go on camera. I'm not talking to circle initials. It's kind of like, I'm like, I want to see your face. I know that we're all working from home. I know you're probably still in your pajamas. I know you've not done your hair or makeup. I genuinely don't care. There's no judgment there. Like, I want to see your faces. I want to feel as connected as we can when, you know, I don't get to see you otherwise. And it's been an interesting one. There was a meeting actually last week where there was about 13 of us on the call and I was the only one on camera. And I decided to be like, guys, I'm not doing this. I'm going to leave the call if you don't put your cameras on. I was like, I'm not talking to all of your initials. And every single person put their camera on. And I was making a joke. I was like, we all look like a mess. I was like, I'm doing a Winnie the Pooh under this. You can't see what I don't have on below my waist. everyone put their cameras on. And it just changed the entire mood of the meeting. And actually, everyone was a lot more everyone was just joking about it. And everyone just connected a bit better. And actually, it just lifted everyone's mood for a bit.
Yeah. Of course, you led the charge because you've got a light ring.
This was before, no. So that was it. That was,
I've got no makeup on, but look at my beautiful, even face.
I did not have the ring light at that time. So it was purely just natural, warm, yellow light. To be honest, I always have my camera on. The only time I don't is normally if I'm going back and forth to the kitchen to grab a coffee or something, I turn it off while I'm doing that so I'm not distracting anyone by moving. Otherwise, I always have it on. Because I want people to see my face and I want to like see other people's faces. So,
yeah.
But I think what's funny as well is I don't know if you feel the same, but one thing that has changed, whereas in lockdown one, I was like, yeah, come on, we'll figure it out. Let's do like a Zoom party. Let's do this. Let's do that. No cares for it. Like, just don't want to sit on Zoom and chat to people and do it even more than I have been. Like, I think after 8 months of doing like 8 hour days of meetings on Zoom, I have no intention of doing any more.
And that's one of the big differences, isn't it? Those dreaded words have not come into my WhatsApp of Zoom quiz.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. I can't do another fucking quiz on Zoom. I'm so tired of them. And also, like, it's really, really strange in terms of being sat on Zoom all day. So I met a colleague that I've been working with for a few months, but only met ever via teams we use, but you know, on the computer, and we went for a socially distanced coffee around St. James's Park, which is, you know, we're both sort of based near there. And I thought to myself, there are about 50 people that I've started working with over this year, and I don't know what their bloody legs look like.
Is that a big thing for you normally? You're like, I judge my friends based on their leg shapes.
Based on their legs. But I just thought, isn't it weird? Like, I have no concept.
Well, you don't know how tall they are. You just don't know. Yeah, you don't know anything. Like, we've got like, you know, new heads of and directors in our business that started at the start of the first lockdown, and they've never met their teams in person. Like, yeah. it's so bizarre.
You know what? There was another cognitive study, which is you like treat taller people with more like reverence, like just everyone does it to some extent. So maybe this is a great leveler, like literally leveler.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I mean, it also explains a lot, doesn't it?
I was just about to actually say, so Jack, we've never met. How tall do you think I am based on my my computer face?
Oh, 6'4".
Yes. Oh my God, you're totally right. Totally, you know, right.
It's tough. I mean, I would say probably 5 foot
Oh, you don't have to answer, Johnny. It's fine. Yeah.
No, that's it. That's where I was ending.
if it starts with five, I want you to just completely stop. But this is right, though, isn't it? You don't know what people look like in person. And if you started working with new people, and I just find it so hard to build rapport with somebody if I can't see their body language, or if they're spending 80% of the time looking at themselves. I mean, I wouldn't know because I'm looking at myself, right? So
yeah.
Who knows?
I always love it when you go on it and everyone's like blurred their background and I'm like trying to figure out what it is in their lounge that they're hiding. Yeah. You don't realise they've got a nude on the wall as their artwork.
Yeah.
We had a brilliant one with a colleague and it was in a very tough meeting as well, but in the back of her, I think she was in an office room, but on the wall was a picture of a gun and the gun was just facing the side of her head.
Oh my god, I love that.
I know, it was, I imagine being like, do you realize that there is a gun going into your brain? And she was like, apt. And then you just slowly saw the camera moving because she was trying to move her laptop.
What a hero, I love her.
I know, it was so fantastic. It was so fantastic. I suppose then with lockdown, I think my biggest thing this time is, apart from losing the will to live,
the show name, Neil.
but do you know what though? But the thing is that, you know, we haven't even recorded the podcast in a while. Like it's you can't shy away from the fact that it's been difficult. Like, and I think even to the podcast, which is something very easy to do, I just find that like I have so little motivation for like the basic things. And you know, whether that's just like simple amounts of self-care to trying to do some form of home workout or exercise, I definitely like have found those slums are hitting more. And you know, you've got to try, you know, there's different things that I'm trying to do to help myself get out of them, which is, you know, either trying to think of, I try to focus on the feeling that I know I'll have once I've done them, because otherwise I'm just not like, you know, whereas normally I'm able to just get started, at the moment it just isn't happening. Like I can normally just tell myself to do something, whereas now it's very much like I have to focus on how I'll feel afterwards and then start, even though I don't want to. But I mean, what about you? What kind of things, when you're in that kind of more slumped feeling and just not feeling motivated, what do you do to get yourself out of it, to both of you?
Mine's really short. Like I haven't got out of it. It's been 45 years.
Totally like business as usual for you, is it?
I'm like, finally, people are understanding what it's like to be me. Please, let's hear from the more expert in sorting out people's life problems.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, again, like I base a lot of my conversations with people on the fact that I'm also a real life human being. So if some people go to a life coach, they expect that I don't have wine for breakfast sometimes, which I do, and I don't know all the, you know, I don't know the answers. And I think, Neil, you're right. Like when you're in a slump, it can be really difficult to remember what the sort of feeling going for a walk will give you. Even or just going outside and getting fresh air, and you just stay on the couch and think, I just can't be bothered or motivated to do absolutely anything. And it is, for me, what I found really, really helpful is actually, and it sounds really corny, and everybody says write a journal, and it's not so much a journal, but I do write down, here are the things that I like doing during lockdown, and here is how they make me feel. So I like going for a walk. I actually like, what I've gotten into now is I get up in the morning and I will go outside and get a coffee before I start work. Even though I'm sat here working, like it just helps with a bit of routine. Mm-hmm. And for me, so I guess it's kind of about asking yourself questions like, what do you miss about the old world, the old way that things were? Which bits of those are you totally out of control of? So, you know, I can't open the pub. I can't open a restaurant. I can't get things back in the theatre, and I can't go clubbing and all of this other stuff. But which bits of the old world am I in control of? And one of those that I realised quite early on is setting a bit of a routine. I don't stick to it every day because I'm not superhuman, and I'm not, you know, getting up and doing yoga and reading 10 books before 6 a.m. because that's insane. But it is just about just putting in a little bit of routine and actually shortening your sort of time period for what your expectations are. So, you know, pre-lockdown, you might have had loads of sort of dreams and ambitions and what you're going to do in a few years, buy a house, get a different job, finish your PhD, whatever it is. And I've totally shortened my ambitions to like a week. which helps because it's just like, okay, what does this week look like? And how am I going to make sure that I'm not, you know, just this kind of blubbering mess on the couch that's, you know, having Pop-Tarts and Pinot Noir for dinner?
Yeah, but I think that's exactly right though, isn't it? Because, you know, when you think about your five-year plan or your one-year plan, whatever it is that you have, at the end of the day, until we have vaccines or more news comes out, you have no way to fathom whether that five-year plan is now a seven-year plan or actually all of a sudden it's going to become a three-year plan. So there's very little point in focusing on it too much because there's very little that you can action.
Yeah, so much out of your control at the minute. And I think once you start actually really thinking about that, there is a little bit of relief that comes with just getting your head around that and being like that, you know, there is just nothing I can do about my future plans to sell up and move to the seaside or the countryside or whatever. So, you know, just focus on the things that you that you can do. And for me, it's about a week. But the other thing is like if you've got to listen a little bit when you're talking about like being unmotivated and etc. You've got to listen to your body, and it's totally fine to be unmotivated. And it's totally fine to spend a day on the couch. And you know, and if you follow loads of people on social media that are getting up and doing like meditation at 5 a.m. and, you know, they're surrounded by trees and all of this kind of crap and you're judging yourself against that, then you're going to feel miserable. But if you need a day and, you know, you're not going to get sacked from work or whatever, where you just need to sit under the duvet covers and read or watch a film, do it. It's totally fine. Stop beating yourself up so much.
That's been one of the interesting debates that I've seen across social media is, there is this camp that are like, you know, seize the day for your personal goals, figure out this. And there's been these hyper motivated people that are like, I've been on furlough, so actually I've learned 14 languages and I've just reskilled and I'm actually going to go work in cyber.
Fatima, is that you?
Whereas there's been, you know, but then there's the other camp of people that want that, but have struggled to find that motivation. And then there's been this, I was about to say resurgence, but there's been a surge of them people saying that, like, actually you don't have to do that. You don't need to achieve it. All you need to do is do whatever makes you happy, get you through each day. And I think I feel like I actually sit on the fence with it because no one should ever be made to feel guilty about anything. I very much subscribe to the, like, as long as you are okay, that is what you should be doing. I think for myself, I try and find the balance of it because there's part of me that's like, but there are certain goals that I know, you know, that I've known that I've wanted to do where I really have the time to do them now. So I should try. But I think it's important that, like, I'm okay if it doesn't work out or I don't fully commit to it. I'm like, you know, I'm trying it. I'm seeing if I can get it into a new habit, if that's working for me. But if it's not, I'm not going to chastise myself because of it.
Yeah. I think that's totally right. And the other thing about like using social media as your kind of benchmark for that is, I'm not denying that there will be some people that get up and they're completely smashing it, you know, taking this by the horns, keeping healthy, doing better at work than they've ever done, blah, 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 blah. But nobody puts up on social media like, you know, just got up, bin smells a bit, not entirely sure what I'm going to do for the rest of the day, got a few work calls, can't be bothered, might go down. Nobody puts those things up on social media. So I would just stop and question a few of the things that you see. It's only going to be people posting about the great things they're doing. Banana bread has been one of this is the kind of thing of second lockdown, isn't it? Everybody makes banana bread these days. But just be careful about that kind of comparison, because behind that are millions of people that also got up today and didn't become the chief executive of their own thing, and that's completely fine. And
it's also that thing of, like, as you say, one, not comparing yourself to it, but it's also just kind of having that, you know, thought process that's like, what they're posting, it's a real high chance that that's bullshit. They actually did it once, or they did it for a week and they got a good post out of it. Did they do it continuously? Probably no, but they're not going to tell you that. And I think that's always really important. Like, if you want to have a go at making banana bread, you do it, babe. But, like, you know, we don't need to pretend that you're going to be on Bake Off next year. Like, you know.
Totally.
I think that's really important.
And totally.
I put a message out on social before this, we recorded this, just because I wanted to see what other people's thoughts were. And it was interesting. I mean, one common thread, which I really relate to, is obviously the lack of gyms and the struggling of training and, you know, the changing of fitness goals versus being able to do anything fitness based. And I think whereas last time I was super motivated to it, this time I'm just like, just try and keep moving. Like, if you know, last time I was probably like 5 days out of 5 days out of seven, normally 6 days out of seven. Whereas by the end of it, I was like, I hate working out next to my bed. Like, this is just weird. I don't want to work out in the lounge. I can't, like, do too much. And this time I'm like, just don't. Like, it doesn't make you happy. Like, it starts my downward spiral because I get angry. And so I'm like, just move. If you want to walk, walk. If you want to get on the bike for 20 minutes, do it. Like, I've just been cycling this week because I've got a thing that turns my road bike into a stationary bike. And I've just been doing that whilst watching The Crown. Like, it's just whatever I can do just to, like, get my heart rate up a little bit, try and move and stretch. And that's just it. And that's, you know, it's obviously slightly different because the lockdown's going to be is shorter this time, fingers crossed. But it's just, I'm not going to put that pressure on myself. And it seems to be quite a common thread. And then I think the other thing that I thought interesting is that a lot of people were saying about how it was actually the home pressures as well. Whereas, you know, all things like chores and whatever, people were just used to doing as part of their working week. They'd do it on a weekend, they'd do it in an evening. Whereas now, actually, all of a sudden, because they're just always in the house and always staring at it, it's starting a cycle of, I'm seeing it, I don't like it, I know I should do it, but I'm not motivated to do it. Now I'm bad, I feel bad that I feel bad. And actually, that's then stopping people from even kind of just doing the basic day-to-day functions.
Totally. The thing is like, people, especially when it comes to things like working out and whatever you want to do with working out, you know, lose weight, gain weight, up, down, whatever your kind of vibe is for that. If you set yourself really unrealistic expectations and then you don't meet them, you're going to be miserable. Yeah. So, you know, there is a huge difference for most people in, you know, what the gym looks like, what equipment it has, the kind of vibe and atmosphere it has, compared to next to your bed or your lounge or wherever it is. I've got my stuff out on the balcony and I look at it every day and think no.
Just taunts you.
I'm not interested in that at all. Whereas, you know, same as you, I was down the gym, you know, at least 4 days a week when I'm in my kind of working routine. And you know, I think you just have to sort of be kind to yourself. You for most people, you cannot possibly achieve these same, like, you know, physical workout goals from your own house unless you're lucky enough to have, you know, a big space and gym equipment and things like that.
And I think that goes to the point about social media as well. Like, we know we follow these fitness professionals and I'm like, well, they already had the head start. Their bodies were already in these amazing conditions. And so they're still able to, like, keep a certain level of fitness. Like, and I think even I forgot that because I was following some of them and I'm like, I have to unfollow them for this because, like, I'm going to better get any gains and they're already starting at a better place.
I think that if you're mega ripped, you can do a little, you know, you can keep it with a resistance band, but a resistance band strapped to my balcony is not turning me into Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, exactly. Or so, I'm not going to drink any water for 24 hours and then I'll take my Instagram shot.
Totally. But also don't forget they, you know, and this is actually a conversation I had with a friend this weekend. They have to keep this up because it's what they do for a living. So, you know what I mean? So they have to tell you that they're at home working out 11 times a day with particular stretching in between because it's what they do for a living. And great, they should. But it doesn't mean that you have to put the pressure on to do it. Pick some things that you can do. Pick some things that kind of contribute towards your whatever, you know, your whatever your goal is. But, you know, don't set things that you think, God, I'm going to have a full workout before I start work and then fail every effing day and then get into that whole cycle of beating yourself up because you're not doing it. Because you never get anything done if you're thinking like that.
Yeah, totally.
I'm actually quite excited about this lockdown because I'm hoping people come round to my way of viewing exercise, which is just don't do it. Just, you know, take all that time that you would spend like going to the gym, spend it in bed. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I'm hoping people can take that out.
But it then depends on, like, you know, I have multi-purpose reasons to why I go to the gym. Mainly Fish and I go, and we do it to have a good gossip as well as working out. So it feeds many of my happinesses in one go.
I was going to be like, you can do that in bed, but I mean, to be honest, you should probably talk about boundaries when you're
Yeah, that would be new for us.
In the spirit of the podcast, the other question that I did ask people on social media was actually what joy they have found in COVID and the pandemic. And I found it quite interesting, the varying responses that we got. But I'm going to start by asking actually you two. So, Jack, what joy have you found in lockdown?
Tough. I'm going to start with one which is kind of flippant and then go on to the second one. The first one, which I found in the first lockdown, was that I didn't have any responsibilities to other people. It was suddenly wonderful. Like, I know this is like a nice problem to have, but I used to feel like there were so many people that I should be seeing and hanging out with and doing things with. And then all of a sudden I couldn't. And I was like, this is amazing. I could have all that like time to myself. And I've gone through that now. Now I'm like, I don't want this much time to myself. But it was kind of a wonderful rebalancing about the fact that you always feel guilty about not spending time with all the people you like and care about. And then all of a sudden you no longer have the opportunity to, or no longer allowed to. And you're like, oh, okay, well, finally, I don't feel guilty about this. And then it swung to the other side. I'm like, oh, actually, I do like my friends. That's why they're my friends. I should see them. So that was one of the things. And I think that's an important concept to continue taking forward, is like actually finding that balance between spending time with friends and not feeling that obligation and guilt that you can feel about not giving as much time to yourself, or even like wanting time to yourself and being able to tell your friends, no, actually, thank you for the kind invite. I don't want to go because I'm tired and I'm grumpy and you won't even like me anyway. So that was one. And then the second thing was I've been baking bread. Totally originally.
Way to pioneer, Jack.
I know, right? Listen, guys, if you haven't already, have you thought about making bread?
What type of bread, though? Because if it wasn't sourdough, it doesn't count.
Yeah, it's true. Or banana loaf.
Do you have a sourdough starter that you're keeping alive and feeding in your fridge?
What I've been trying to do is create the manliest loaf of bread. And so my current approach is to use like a Canadian very strong whole grain flour and then add to it smoked water. And I'm thinking that if I add some dried chives in with that, you'll get this musky, smoky, tough loaf of bread. And that's what I've been working on. My goal is not just to produce a bread, it's to produce the most masculine bread. Yeah. That's...
I mean, goals are great. It's great to have a goal.
And the thing is, before I started this, I didn't even want to produce. I don't even care about anything masculine. I'm wearing a floral t-shirt. But I just thought I'd point in one direction and see where it goes. And I'm having a great time. Sometimes I think it's important just to keep going in some way. That's my lockdown direction.
You've picked something, and good luck to you. I want to see the results because I kind of want to see what shape it is.
Can I just say, my mum really rates it. So, you know,
okay.
That's the sign that my masculine bread is doing very well.
Yeah.
Amazing. John, what about you?
So, what about two things that I've enjoyed during lockdown? I think, do you know what the first is? So I had my birthday during the first lockdown, which was fine. Do you know what? I never normally in non-pandemic life make a big deal out of my birthday. Actually, I normally just say I'm going to this pub at 6:30. If anybody wants to come, come. If you don't, don't. Not a big fan of it, really. And I think people were so conscious, just because we weren't seeing each other, that I got a flood of things in the post. It was insane that cards were being left. I live in a block of flats, so I have one of those like big sort of silver like post boxes. Cards were being left on the top. I had 5 deliveries throughout the day of like flowers and cake and blah. And I thought, bloody hell, I've never had this in normal world. You know what I mean? People have come out for a drink and a couple of things. And it was so nice, the amount of effort that people have put in. And as a result, I am doing my best. I'm not very good at this type of crap, but I'm doing my best to do it for other people because it made me feel amazing.
Yeah.
It really was really, really good. So, and I think what really helped with that is I got sort of, you know, thoughts, cards, whatever, messages from people that I would just see out in different sort of groups of friends. And it really kind of sort of helped iron out, like, actually I really like these people, and I never in you know, I'm normally so caught up in whatever it is that I'm doing in the normal world that I don't think I put enough time into these relationships. And it's been really good. I've put a lot of time into relationships with people over lockdown that I, you know, I wouldn't always see as often as I would like, and I've really enjoyed that, which is amazing.
You know what, this is really interesting actually, because it's kind of like the opposite of my one. I'm like, great, lockdown's come. I can step away from all my friends, like, feel guilty, not see. And yours is, oh, actually, I've found better ways to reconnect with people that I should have been. It's like, oh, lockdown, you can do anything you want that's best for you.
Yes, totally. Totally. Yeah.
And the other opposite is that you got loads of gifts for your birthday, and I got like 2 cards.
Did you?
That's what I was going to say. Like, I think mine's kind of, there's probably 2 for me. I think the biggest one is the same as you, which is like, it's lockdown and the whole pandemic has created a space where I've really deepened a lot of my friendships and the kind of the relationships we have, both just in like kind of, because of this, you know, you can't do a lot of things together. It is very much about conversation and connection. And so we kind of, you know, the way that conversations and discussions have gone, I've, you know, learned so much about people. Same to you as well, in that so Jack and I, our birthday was in the second lockdown, but very similar in that there's been other people who I know have had birthdays in lockdown, and I've been, they're people that I may not have even necessarily gone to their birthday things. They've been like on a different circle of friends, or I would only, you know, I'd see them when I see them type thing. But actually in lockdown, I was like, oh, I want them to know that, you know, I want them to be happy on their birthday, and actually I have a lot of time for that person. And you've made like the effort to send something to them. And I very much received that back, which is amazing. And it also then made you get more creative, because I was like, well, there's no point in me sending them some booze, because I don't want them to encourage them to drink alone at home. So it was then like,
someone feels seen.
Steady on, darling. Steady
it's
on.
Totally fine as long as you're in control of it. But it was just more that, like, if they were getting lots at home. So it was things like, you know, I started sending books to people, and I started thinking about what books that I've read or that I think that they would like. And so, and then actually those people then sent me some books on my birthday, which was amazing. So I definitely think that birthday, that friendship connection has been probably my favorite thing. And I think the byproduct of that is, even when lockdown eased the first time, we weren't necessarily rushing to go back to like pubs and stuff. And don't get me wrong, there's part of me that can't wait to go out, big nights out with all my friends, go dancing. But actually it made me realize that when you're in certain environments, and especially when they're busy, it means that there's only a certain level that conversations can go, because you're not in a space that you can hear or that you can speak in private enough. Whereas actually it was always about, you know, we just did dinners and things like that. And actually that space created a lot more discussion. It was a lot more enjoyable. So I kind of, that's what I hope to kind of carry on for me. And then I think the only other thing for me was that I really enjoyed getting back to cooking. I realized how much I'd gone to like just being someone that cooked for nutritional value to get my macros in, and actually during lockdown had the time to actually cook proper dishes that had more than 3 ingredients. And that's probably been the most fun I've had, to kind of get back to that.
Maybe bake some bread.
I did do the banana bread once. I went all the way and I did like, it was like a 5-ingredient vegan banana bread. It was, and it was actually really good. Oh, I slightly oversold it. But it worked really well as like a breakfast bread with some like Nutella on it.
You will be so a welcome toasted addition it. To London, darling.
But I think I'm going to have a look at, so yeah, so some of the other ones we got from people that responded. More people saying having time to do home stuff, cooking, baking, decorating, studying Japanese.
Man, I hate that guy. I was going to say, Japanese all the time. I saw that come in and I was like, so jealous.
Yeah, but we don't know if they're any good at it yet. Let's not be too jealous.
Yeah, true. They may have just started and only know a few words.
Yeah,
exactly. One that did come actually, which I thought was amazing, and I think this is probably similar to a few people, because there are a lot of people that, you know, have moved out of cities or moved home for a while due to, you know, the effects and of the pandemic. And actually there were people that responded saying that one of their favorite things has been reconnecting with their family. So people who have gone back to you know, stay with parents for a while and actually staying with them as adults, which normally isn't something you'd ever, you know, want to do necessarily, actually has been really great because it's helped them reconnect at a new, like, kind of like adult relationship level, which I actually thought was really nice. And as someone that, you know, I'm nearing a year since I've seen, apart from a drive-by wave with my mum in May, I haven't actually like hugged or seen 99% of my family for like it'll be a year by Christmas.
I'm here for you, Neil.
You are. And I'm always thankful. But yeah, but I did think that was quite lovely. And it does make me realise how much I want to reconnect with them. So.
But, and yeah. Do you know what? I think good for those people, you know.
It's not for me, but good for those people.
It's not on my list.
It's not the first thing that I did. But I mean I can see how people have ended up doing that. I mean it's been difficult because mine are, so I say so far away. I mean mine are up in the Midlands, but my mum is a nurse and my stepdad is a postman, so they both have just been working through the whole thing as well. So they've had a really different experience to me, who's been like, oh, stay at home and find things to do, and they've been out every single day, busier than they've ever been in their entire lives. So actually it's been really weird. We've got quite a lot of like old vulnerable families, so I daren't go up just in case I kill them. Which, do you know what I mean? It's a fear, isn't it? Like, just because Boris says you can go and visit them doesn't mean the virus says, all right, I'll give you a day off.
Well, I mean, but that's like that's the whole thing with the, you know, whatever we hear, which I think is supposed to be tomorrow. So by the time this goes out, we should know what the Christmas plans are. But at the moment, the kind of rumblings on the ground, it's going to be tight restrictions in a tier 3, and then everyone goes wild for a week over Christmas. And it's kind of like, but what does that really mean? Like, you know, to your point, like I have, you know, I have a grandparent who was shielding when they were required to. I have, you know, my mum's partner who is currently going through cancer treatment. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? Like, you know, I have to travel on public transport to get home. And so it's really easy to just do a big, let's all go. And it's like, but actually on an individual basis, like basis, what does that actually really mean in terms of keeping safe and keeping everyone safe?
Yeah. I think you've got to just judge it, haven't you, based on what you're going back to. And it's really difficult. Like, I don't want to go home and be like, you know, my nan is we say nan in Birmingham, sorry. My nan is 86. And, I don't want to go back and be like, well, here's a load of jam from M&S, and in 2 weeks' time, you'll need intubation. Merry Christmas. Exactly. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I'm worried about that just because the government says I can go and visit her. So it's really difficult this year to choose things. But she'll be mortified if I don't go back. But
yeah, well, that's it. I mean, I'm, you know, I'm hoping I can convince my sister to actually drive up and get me so that it's you know, a little bit more of a safer journey back, because otherwise it's a bit of a mess.
Which is actually a good question for you, Fish, which is, how do we cope with this kind of, you know, existential dread that we may kill our loved ones?
That's really difficult, isn't it? I think that it's just about everybody's situation is going to be really, really wildly different, right? And I think everybody, and actually, I don't think that anybody's 100% positive on the science of this yet, either of who is really vulnerable, who is, etc. You know, I've got friends that are my age that are still suffering with it 7 months on from first getting it. So I just think you have to ask yourself a set of questions like, where am I going back to? How comfortable am I really with this? You know, even though it would upset them, can I have a conversation with them to say, maybe we'll do it in a couple of months' time, maybe we'll Zoom, maybe we'll do something else. I think you just have to challenge yourself on your own situation. How happy are you with doing it? And for some people, you know, go back and do it. Everybody will have a slightly different approach, and that's okay. I think you've just got to make your best assessment on your own family situation and really honestly ask yourself, is it worth it? Could we do something different? Could we do something in a couple of months' time? And, you know, if you, for me, I'm asking people if they're comfortable with me doing things as well. Like, are you comfortable for me to come back, etc.? Because I need to know how they feel about it. And I think we need to just release this pressure, because Christmas seems to be, I mean, I know it's normally important in this country, which is completely fine, but it seems to be this mad only thing that anybody cares about at the minute, and having this like 5-day blowout. Just really ask yourself, like, of course, for some people it's really important to see their family, but, you know, is the risk worth it? Are you comfortable doing it? And if something didn't go, you know, completely to plan, would you still be happy doing it? And I say that, you know, coming from, I know this podcast is about really good, you know, good things that are going on. So I can't, but I've lost 3 family members since March.
Yeah, I know.
To COVID. So, you know, and yet still my family are still like, you know, what day are you coming home for Christmas? I'm like, I don't want to kill the last ones left. Do you know what I mean? So we have to have an honest conversation with everybody. And I think you all just have to be comfortable with whatever decision it is that you take. If you're all meeting up and you're all comfortable, great. If you're not and you're all comfortable, great. But I think you all have to agree. And I think you have to have a really open and honest conversation about that, about what that does and doesn't mean.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think, you know, and I do think that the takeaway is just going to be that, like, one, like, everyone's, like, look how long we've done this. Like, you know, we thought at the start that, like, 3 months of lockdown, no way, tier 2, tier 3, no way. And, you know, we're here. Obviously, the numbers in this country still aren't great and what we'd want. But, you know, there are, I think people need to just hold on to the fact that, like, you have done it, you have gotten through. Yes, the thought of Christmas being different isn't ideal, but it's one Christmas of it being different to allow you to potentially have however many more afterwards. And that's the thing to hold on to, that, like, it will make it work. It will still be special. It can just possibly be different. But yeah, I think as long as you said, as you say, like, if everyone is on the same wavelength and everyone has, you know, consented and agreed, then it is, you know, you make it as enjoyable as you can.
Yeah. And I think the worst thing would be to walk away and feel and be questioning yourself as to whether or not you've done the right thing. Like, what a horrible thing for people to kind of experience. And not that you're ever going to be 100% sure, but I just think you have to be, whatever you decide to do, I just think you have to be comfortable with it.
Yeah. Agreed.
So, you know.
Well, on that note, John, thank you very, very much for joining us and having a chat.
You're so welcome.
It was great to hear your insight and the kind of conversations that you've been having. So hopefully this will help other people have some good conversations with their family and making their plans for Christmas. But yeah, thanks very much. Really appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Love you guys. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on. It was a good thing to see you. Yeah, sorry, I hadn't done a thing.
He always tries to, always tries to plug it.
I feel like I missed my opportunity earlier, and then I know.
Just stop.
I can only apologize. You're not going to come. Hey, we got a good
thing going on. What do you think of that, Jack?
Well, that was a lovely talk.
It's really funny, isn't it, that I think at the start of lockdowns and pandemic, everyone just ran off in their own directions and how they were coping. And I feel like it's all slowly started to come back together. And definitely I'm feeling in this second lockdown that there's almost like a universal vibe now.
I guess anything that's filmed. The first lockdown, I was like, this is annoying. And also they should have really done something about this in January. But also I remember a lot of people feeling very constrained and me being like, it's nice to have like just some time to myself. And this lockdown, I am certainly feeling like, oh my God, I can't take it anymore. It's like a sequel where they've changed director and we're getting a separate vibe on it.
Yeah, and because I suppose as well, like, you know, as we discussed, like there's the people that ran a million miles and were like super motivated. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this work. But also I think it was such an unknown. There was also a kind of universal fear of what it meant or catching it. Whereas now in the second lockdown, as much as obviously certain services are open that weren't the first time, people are like, I'm exhausted from doing it for this long. They're happy to still go about to a certain extent within the rules because they're like, they know how to like look after themselves. But everyone is, I think, because of the time of year, going up to Christmas, there is more of a universal struggle. So it was kind of good to discuss with John that, you know, that people are going to be taking it differently, but it's just, you know, it's okay to be doing whatever is right for you. And that could be to be super motivated and taking on a million projects. It could be to like starting your own company and being a CEO. But it could just be patting yourself on the back because you showered, and that's great too. And I think that's what everyone really needs to hold on to as we finish the second lockdown and prepare for whatever Christmas has to hold. I hope that those listening either got some validation for whatever they're doing and how they're coping in lockdown, or got some ideas on things that they can do to make sure that they're looking after yourself. Don't forget to come and find us on social media at A Good Good Thing. We'd love to hear your highs and lows of the pandemic and how you're coping and how you're finding lockdown too, or just to come and share other good stories with us. And also just to give us a follow. But otherwise,
mainly the stories, right? We always need the stories. Give us your stories.
We want content. Otherwise, we will see you all again very soon. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.